Monday morning. Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman with you. We now have Raleigh County Assistant Fire Chief in studio with us, Doug Schmidt. And Doug, good morning. You don't smell too much like smoke. You had a good shower.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, I was able to actually get most of the smoke off of me, so I don't smell too bad today.
Well, what a weekend. You're telling me during break, it really kind of started Friday.
Yeah, Friday afternoon, we were actually at a reception for the state forestry fire manager. Ross Hawk had a retirement reception. He'd been doing it quite a bit, so we were down off of Claflin there. And we got a call from Gary County. The fire chief over in Gary County called up and said he had a fire off I-70 about mile marker 305 that was running pretty quick and was headed our way. So we mobilized some units and got out there, and it ended up being a pretty big dynamic fire down there. And it was running pretty hard. I know my guys went out there and said at one point they were clocking at about 35 mile an hour is how fast that fire was spreading.
Wow.
So it was a situation there where, you know, we made a direct attack as much as we could. We got it slowed down in kind of some draws, but we ended up working until about 10 o'clock at night. And that call actually came in at 4 o'clock. So we put about 6 hours in trying to catch that fire and total about 1,100 acres. But we ended up having to do a back burn, actually take the fuel away, because we couldn't apply water to it quick enough. A lot of areas we couldn't get to.
And so, when you say a back burn, for people maybe not aware of that terminology.
Yeah, that's basically where we go back. We find a good defensible place to actually set fire and take the fuel away. So we put fire on the ground. And, let's talk about, you have a head fire, which the wind's driving. So the big part of the fire is, the wind's pushing in a certain direction. And we'll go out ahead of that and set a fire that backs into it. So it's actually called a backing fire. So we'll anchor it down with water and control that piece of it. And we'll actually consume that fuel and, kind of meet up with the fire. So once you take that fuel out, then we can mitigate that fire. So that's what we ended up having to do. And it was a fairly large operation Saturday.
As far as going back to the Friday fire real quick. Do you know the cause of that fire?
We believe it to be smoking material discarded from somebody going down the interstate. So that's
Like a cigarette or
something
like that.
Just like a cigarette, yeah. Just nothing more than a little cigarette burns up 1,100 acres.
Wow.
And, yeah, pretty wild when you put in that dynamic. And we had a total of about 18 fire trucks out there and 50 firefighters from Riley County, Gary County, Fort Riley. And I was talking about that reception earlier. We actually had two fire trucks that were there at the reception. One of them was from Johnson County, and one of them was from the state forestry. So they were in the area. We went ahead and used them, and they were pretty good help for us Friday. So we went back, got our trucks back together, and Saturday the first call came in at 11:50 a.m. We had a call down in southeast part of the county, Letter Rock Road and Daniels Road, kind of southeast of Deep Creek. That one was actually started by tannerite, so got a couple guys out shooting tannerite. It's explosive material that they mix together and shoot at it, and it blows up. So
that seemed maybe that wasn't a good idea.
Yeah, I think they kind of realized that right after the fact that they did that, and then here's a fire that started off just a little spot fire, and then it consumed 100 acres before we was able to catch it. So
was there a purpose for setting off those explosives, or just?
I think just for entertainment. They're out entertaining themselves, and I think they learned a valuable lesson with that. And with that, we didn't lose any property, down there. So the actual result wasn't horrible. But it took us about 8 fire trucks, about 15 firefighters to get that one under control. And while that was going on, then we've got the second call off North 48th Street. It would have been just south of Prairie Stone there. And I was actually on my way and into town at that point, because I live up way up North County. I was coming in on TCB, so I was on scene fairly early there. I was actually coming down Tuttle Creek Boulevard when that call came in.
And this is the fire where a home was
consumed. Yeah, exactly. So, I witnessed the smoke plume first. I was about 4 mile corner there, Madison and Tuttle Creek Boulevard coming south, and it had a pretty good plume, worked up pretty quick. And by the time I got there, it was raging pretty quick. And of course, the truck I have, I don't even actually have any water on it. I carry fuel on it, and I refuel the trucks and kind of keep trucks going during calls. And And yeah, by the time I got there, the fire was approaching the house, the structure there from Greg's house.
And Greg
Wells.
Yeah.
Yeah. And looking at it, going, okay, maybe we can stop it here at the road. I grabbed some hand tools, you know, something simple, just basically garden rakes, and we have beefed up rakes that will actually go out and try to attack some of these things by hand. It was moving so rapidly, there wasn't any way we were catching this with hand tools, and so I had to wait for fire trucks to arrive, and so that took about 4 minutes to get my first truck there from Keats, and we concentrated at that point. The house was already involved within the first 3-4 minutes of this fire.
And unoccupied.
Unoccupied, yeah, yeah. So we concentrated there north of the road there and got the head fire out before it was headed towards those cedars on the other side of Tuttle Creek Boulevard. And if it would have jumped Tuttle Creek Boulevard there, we would have had a very, very hard time ever catching this thing. Basically took those first fire trucks that we had and tried to catch that fire before it got any worse, and then worked our way back. And like I said, we didn't stand a chance on the house itself, on the structure. It pains you, you know. We think we've got things laid out pretty good, and, you know, we've got a fire truck within 5 miles of most residents in the county, but, you know, it's still something like that. You just feel helpless.
It's a tough thing, but ultimately nobody was injured, and that's always the...
Yeah, and that's our number one metric, of course, is life safety. You know, we teach that, and it's our priority. Is, you know, human life outweighs everything else. So, yeah, if we got somebody in harm's way, we'll do everything we can to get to them. But.
And were other properties threatened as well? Because, again, with the conditions and the winds, it seems like it really could have been a lot worse than what it was.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. There's a lot of houses up and through that area. And like I said, if that fire would have jumped to Tuttle Creek Boulevard, we would have had a really big problem. I don't think I've got enough fire trucks in the county that could have caught it at that point.
Dave?
Yeah, and one of the other aspects of the fire, the end results was a lot of smoke, and you had to block off traffic on Highway 24. This is kind of like right after the K-State basketball game, so there were a lot of folks on the roadways.
Yeah, that was one of those things. When I was coming down, like I said, I come down Tuttle Creek Boulevard, and I noticed right away, I entered into that smoke plume right before I got into 48, and I couldn't see at all. I mean, it's worse than the worst fog that had been through. And so I called in dispatch right away and said, hey, we need to get some law enforcement out here and slow everybody down because you have zero visibility here, and it's inside this smoke plume. And I know they sent an officer from North County. They were trying to get somebody up from the city there. And before everybody kind of get staged and get everybody slowed down, there was a two-car accident in the middle of that smoke plume. So, yeah, so we ended up with another issue. So we have an injury accident out there, and so we had to bring in more law enforcement, ambulance, and to address that situation, too.
You know the degree of injury with that accident?
I don't think it was severe, no. The feedback I got, it was fairly minor. So.
And a cause, is there a known cause with that third fire that we're just talking about right now?
Yeah, it was as simple as they were out mowing a pasture, and the brush hog hit a rock, and one little spark.
That's all it takes.
One little spark there, yeah, and that much devastation. It could have been a heck of a lot worse.
Go ahead.
No, that's fine.
Let's go ahead and take another break. We'll come back. Let's talk about maybe some precautions and just remind folks what red flag warnings mean and some of those things, and we'll go over that when we come back on In Focus here on News Radio KMAN.